Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first interview today is a post-dated one, so some of the events referred to may already have passed. In this segment of our show, Lily Rustin and Zachary Lachance will be telling us a little bit about a CMHA benefit concert they helped organize. So, can you tell me a little bit about the mental health concert that you're both helping organize?
Well, it's going to be on November 28th. The start and end times are 3 p.m. to 4:30, respectively. It's going to be open at 2:40 for anyone who wants to arrive early. Of course, we have a lot of musical guests. We have a guest speaker, and we're giving away some pretty cool raffle prizes, including some Spitfire tickets.
So, what was the inspiration for the two of you to want to get involved with this project?
Well, we're very passionate about mental health awareness. A lot of people don't seem to really quite understand that there are just so many people out there who suffer from some sort of mental health illness. Even if it's not them personally, they more than likely know somebody who does. And we believe in making sure that not only everyone's aware that these issues can happen to and affect everybody, but that people can come together and be supportive of one another.
Yeah, and not only that, but music is something that's incredibly healing. Especially, during stressful times, it can really help. One of the other things that has us very passionate about this is the idea of being able to share music with people and help use music. I need to rephrase that. And allow music to help bring people together as well.
So, you were each saying that, COVID's had an impact on everyone's mental health this past year. Can you sort of go into some of the details of that?
Yeah, of course. People aren't quite used to just staying home and not going outside. And a lot of people are very much social butterflies, and COVID's honestly hit them pretty hard. They are limited to just being at home and just talking with people. Now some of the restrictions are being lifted and people can go outside and socialize a little bit more than they could, say, a year ago.
Exactly.
But in all honesty, a lot of people who weren't really all that social, who maybe kind of were working on trying to come out of their shell a lot more, they've been pretty much blocked from doing anything like that as well. So it's kind of a contradiction. You'd think that a lot of people who would be a little bit more introverted would not have been as affected by COVID, but in reality they have, and it has taken a toll on a lot of people's mental health. And we want to basically show that everyone, you're not alone in dealing with stuff like this, and that we can come together and just kind of be supportive, more or less.
Exactly, because I mean, so like socializing with people online, like of course people did have that option, but it's just, it's not the same, you know? It's, so with COVID and everything, like now that restrictions are lifting, it is nice that we have more opportunity to socialize in person, and also Zoom has also kind of helped bring a little bit more of the like in-person social feel to even online socializing, which I think is good. And also being able to share music like over Zoom and stuff is definitely another benefit to that. So
as this is an academic assignment, do you see yourselves getting more involved with the causes related to awareness of mental health concerns?
If I were to like do any sort of charity event sponsorships, the Canadian Mental Health Association will more than likely be my first choice. In all honesty, it's a cause that I genuinely am supportive of.
And possibly. I mean, to be honest, my current ambition has a lot to do with going into ad design somehow, and I feel that knowing how wonderful and helpful these types of events are for people, especially related to the Canadian Mental Health Association, I could see myself designing ads for future events like it, you know? Designing ads for a cause that's meaningful and important, like this one, it seems like something that would do a lot of good, and ad design is something I find incredibly fun, too, so it's kind of...
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for mental health awareness and for everyone to sort of come together to support those affected, what would you say?
I can't speak for Zach, but personally, if I could send any message to the community, I would say that if you're struggling with anything, be it anxiety, depression, you know, or if you know someone who is, like, don't be afraid to seek help. It's there for anyone who needs it, and please know that. Like, there are many resources out there for all those who need, like, that type of help or support, or just, yeah, there's always options.
To add to that, I would like to say that, like, a lot of people who also struggle with mental health, like, tend to keep things to themselves a lot. So, even more so than just saying you're not alone, like, don't be afraid to talk about it with people, because people are a lot more understanding of it now than they were, say, like, decades ago, because people are genuinely trying to make this more of an issue and more of something that needs to be talked about and brought out into the public sphere a lot more. Thankfully, the Canadian Mental Health Association has been doing this for, like, over 100 years at this point. So that's why we're genuinely, like, trying to be supportive of their charity, because it's kind of like a thank you in a way for the work that they've done, and kind of like a push forward to continue, like, promoting mental health awareness.
So do you see enough young people, your contemporaries, students, getting involved with causes such as this?
Oh yeah, there are plenty of other people in our program event planning class that are also doing charities and stuff. And they're all for good causes. There's even another event that is doing the Canadian Mental Health Association as well. Like, and there's a good reason for that, because especially like our generation, millennials and even like Generation Z, often get ridiculed for talking about anxiety and stuff. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that at all. There's nothing wrong with raising awareness about certain mental health concerns. And it's good, quite frankly, that our generation is making that big issue of this.
I'd like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Deborah Lewis from CFPDP. So, can you tell me a little bit about the Foundation's work?
Yeah, the Canadian Foundation for Physically Disabled Persons started in 1985, and it's a small organization that focuses on fundraising and awareness building for Canadians with disabilities. We look forward to continuing to make Canada the best place in the world for people who live with a disability.
So, What are some of the key barriers that you advocate about?
Really showcasing people's abilities, that, you know, people who have lived with a disability, but really showcasing their abilities and what they are able to achieve. One of our main projects that we've launched recently was called, it's called Seat at the Table, where we're trying to get an increase, sorry, increase of the number of directors on boards.
So
a board of directors, are trying to get more Canadians with disabilities serving on corporate boards. Currently, right now, the number is 0.04% across Canada.
So how can people be expected to consider what might be an accessibility barrier without that voice within their own organizations?
I'm not sure what you mean by the question.
Without those people on corporate boards, these policies and practices any company might be making might have an inherent roadblock for someone with a disability without even realizing it.
I mean, it is true that the employee or the director does need to disclose their disability and if there are any accommodations required, but it is the board's, role to look at the number of people that are representing their company and ensure they have a diverse group. And, we really want from the top down for Canadian employees to see people with disabilities at the top.
So how are you going about reaching out to the disability population to let them know about your work?
Our role is also to bring awareness within government and corporations. So a lot of what we do is approaching corporations and trying to showcase opportunities for them to work with people with disabilities. But then we also do work with people with disabilities. We have our Hall of Fame where we go out to disability organizations. So we work with disability organizations across Canada on a few projects. One is asking for nominations for our Disability Hall of Fame, which we just launched last week. And then the other is also, trying to find candidates across Canada that might be professional, that might be board ready, that we could then, introduce to boards to try to increase that representation of people with disabilities making decisions on the board level.
So, do you ever find in your work there are any myths or misperceptions concerning what a person with a disability is capable of?
Well, I think that's pretty common. I think that now, in Canada and in many countries, the impression is a lot better than it would have been 20, 30 years ago. But I think one of the misconceptions, too, is maybe hiring someone with a disability and the accommodations that might be required for that. Many people believe it might be an expensive process or a bit of a training process, when in reality the average accommodation cost for a new employee is $1,200, but the benefits in regards to retention and training outweigh, any sort of, minimal cost. So I find that many people may feel that there's a lot of accommodations required. But, there's so many innovations out there, and then the person themselves has been very innovative in themselves and how they communicate that some of those accommodations have already been looked after. So
to look at the converse side of things, in your time with this advocacy work, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
I've been just working here not very long, but through seeing this organization through the years, I think some success moments is being able to recognize our Paralympic athletes with a podium fund, going out to market and finding someone that would like to fund and reward those Paralympic athletes so they can feel rewarded similar to Canadian Olympic athletes. So that's a big win. The 1996 torch really across Canada to, hundreds of communities, informing them and raising awareness of the Paralympics back in 96 has been a big win of this organization, and launching the Eternal Flame of Hope at Metro Hall. And then the Hall of Fame also for 28 years recognizing Canadians across Canada. Every year is great to see the nominations and all these people that are making, doing such great work and volunteer hours in Canada, making it the best country and just providing opportunities and services for people with disabilities.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the work going forward and what needs to happen in terms of equality and advocacy and even awareness, What would you say?
I think the thing is normalize disability. You know, don't think of it as, you know, I mean, there's so many people working through mental, physical, you know, concerns. And you know, just to really normalize disability in Canada and not think of it as a disability, just think of it as a factor.
So what are the next steps for the foundation?
The next steps for the foundation is to continue to grow, to maintain our programs of recognizing people in Canada. Our big new program is the Seat at the Table. So we would really like to see 1% of directors on corporate boards across Canada to be with a disability. So going from 0.04% to 1% is a goal we'd love to see. So we continue to work on that.
So in that sense, do you find that a worker with a disability might bring a new innovation, new perspective to the work that goes on?
Exactly, and that's really, you know, regardless of whatever level they may be contributing to a team or, you know, a business or a community group, I think, you know, they've already experienced some innovation or they may have a different perception or a different outlook. So I think that, you know, especially during COVID, there was a lot of opportunities for people with disabilities to use some of their innovation skills and help their teams be innovative to communicate and maintain work.
One of the real advantages I'm familiar with is it actually opened the door for several workers with disabilities to get involved for the first time.
Well, exactly. And then, or not having certain physical barriers or certain other barriers, you know, it did open up that sort of virtual working for a number of people with more of a physical disability, right?
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hey CJAM listeners! Looking for more ways to connect with CJAM programming? Try streaming CJAM through iHeartRadio. Listen online, download the iHeartRadio app, or use your smart speaker. Alexa, play CJAM on iHeartRadio. Experience CJAM FM on higher ground, no matter where you are.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Lily Rustin and Zachary Lachance told us a little bit about a CMHA benefit concert. And Deborah Lewis told us a little bit about CFPDP. In this segment of our show, Cody Williams will be telling us a little bit about team possibilities. So, can you tell me a little bit about the work of Possibilities?
So back in 2000, the Possibilities program was created at Loma Linda University Health East Campus, or Rehab Campus, and it was intended to provide a continuum of care for our patients. Patients that had been involved in traumatic accidents that resulted in disability, whether that was a traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injury, amputation. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we are providing, you know, world-class health care in our clinical setting. But when a patient is discharged, how do we keep those patients connected to community and to the resources that we have here at the hospital? Really the community piece, not the clinical piece, but the community piece. So the Possibilities program was created, and we have a variety of offerings. We're a membership, a free membership program to anybody with a permanent physical or intellectual disability, and or veterans, and all the support and resources we provide are free. So anyone can sign up to be a member. We have support groups, We have social activities, activities for families, caregivers, women. We have adaptive athletics. We have a junior, an adult wheelchair basketball team. We have a Paralympic training program that provides opportunities and sponsorship for athletes training for the Paralympics in a variety of sports. We currently had 3 athletes return from Tokyo that brought back medals for the United States in cycling and wheelchair basketball, 3 athletes in 2 different sports, so wheelchair basketball and paracycling. In addition to the support groups that we have 13 plus support groups for a variety of disabilities. And we're connected here at the hospital to different resources to experts in those fields of disability. So we try to pair with those experts when it comes to our support groups. So we can lead out by sharing information about recovery, about social well-being, mental health, and a variety of different avenues for support.
So, glad you mentioned the mental health aspect, because in many cases, recovery in a physical sense is very much contingent on the mind's ability to say, yes, I can do this, or I still have something to push for.
Absolutely.
So, how do you go about reaching out to different organizations to work in partnership with all these offerings? I'd imagine that you have to branch out beyond just the hospital's work.
Yeah, absolutely. So many years ago, and I believe it was 2007, Possibilities partnered with the Inland Empire Health Plan and created what we called the Inland Empire Disabilities Collaborative. So we would have monthly meetings where a variety of nonprofits, companies, government agencies could come and collectively collaborate and share resources with one another just to kind of create some awareness of the resources that this region provides to our community members with disabilities and veterans. So that was created many, many years ago in 2007, and that group has grown to be inclusive of over 16,000 different organizations that provide resources for our local community members. So outside of Loma Linda and collaborating with the Inland Empire Disabilities Collaborative, that collaborative has grown and grown. So we have access to many, many resources and partners to expand the offerings that we offer to our members.
So, in your work, have you ever encountered any myths or misperceptions about disability and what someone recovering from, say, a traumatic brain injury would be capable of doing?
It's really interesting. Recently, we've been involved in the teaching side aspect of disability and our School of Medicine. We partner with our School of Medicine and we've incorporated disability into our teaching curriculum for the medical school. Like, you know, as future professionals that are going to be treating patients with disabilities, it's really imperative that we reach them from an educational perspective. You know, when we do that, we go in and teach, we bring in former patients that have gone through these traumatic situations like brain injury, and they get to share from their perspective what their patient experience was. And, you know, really, you know, we hear most often that the number one thing is communication. You know, sometimes the communication that those clinical professionals can have, you know, whether it's your physical therapist, your occupational therapist, you know, your neuropsych support, you know, the care that our medical professionals provide to our patients and the way that they communicate with them and relate to them can have everything to do with their rehab and the recovery. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we can have the most positive impact on that trajectory and that journey for that patient. You know, getting connected socially, especially with brain injury, staying connected socially is really, really important. You know, having a community of people that understand your journey, and not from a healthcare perspective, just others that have experienced that same journey. You know, whether it's, you know, surviving a stroke or, you know, a traumatic brain injury, specifically, or any other disability for that matter, spinal cord or otherwise, having a community of people that kind of have gone before you and having a place and a way to connect with those people is really important in recovery and rehab. You know, what they can and can't do, they can learn from others. You know, if they see other people leading the way that have been in similar, you know, situations to theirs, they empower and provide new direction and hope for those patients.
So what's interesting about that is the idea of being able to adapt the world, in so much as one person might know of an option that another wouldn't, just being able to share those innovations. So,
yeah.
So in your time with Possibilities, is there any success story that stands out for you?
There's many, and I get really emotional about it because I'm so passionate about what we do and so proud of what happens here, and it's really a collective effort. But, you know, I mentioned that continuum of care from inpatient to discharge to thriving in life. And we see often where we have patients that, you know, one comes to mind specifically, I don't know, it was 2010. Young man involved in a rollover car accident and became a spinal cord injury patient, and was very active in his life. He owned his own plumbing company, late 20s, and just had everything ahead of him, you know. And when this accident happened, it just kind of turned his world upside down. But, you know, he had that drive and that fire to just make it the best he could. And, you know, he got connected to Possibilities, and I met him shortly after. I met him when he was inpatient, and then we met again and connected when he had discharged and got home, and he was bored and he wanted something to do. And I said, you know, like, what are you interested in? He says, something where I can move and, you know, stay active and whatever. So we put him on, back then in 2010, you know, technology and design was much different in a hand cycle than it is now. And, you know, it was a big kind of wobbly beach cruiser type thing. And he came back in a week or so, and he said, it's just not fast enough for me. Do you have anything that can go faster? And that same kid, and I say that same kid, just returned from the World Cup in Belgium and placed 10th in the world, you know, in paracycling. Seeing his dream, you know, believing that he could do better, seeing his dreams, and, you know, from patient to thriving. And, you know, it's not always about sports. We have other stories that, you know, you see those stories just come to life. And having, you know, the opportunity to be involved in Possibilities as the platform for motivating our patients and giving them hope and connecting them to resources and, you know, supporting them along that journey is really, it's remarkable and really a gift.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Cody was absolutely right in so much as every disability story is a gift. Everyone with a disability has their own unique tale to tell, their own unique insights as to how they became the person they are. Sometimes it's one of hardship and overcoming. Sometimes it's one of seeking the right support systems. Sometimes it's just a matter of looking inside oneself and asking, who am I and who do I want to be? But the truth is, everyone with a disability, as with everyone in society, has talents, hopes, dreams, capabilities all their own. They should not be underestimated nor overlooked, based solely on the fact of one characteristic that makes us unique. In these times, it's so easy to look at what makes us different. It's a little harder, with all the propaganda out there, look at that common thread of humanity, say, we're all bound together, and as a community, we're better for the strength that others bring to us. Sometimes it's just a smile or a word of encouragement. But I maintain any of us has the potential to change the world. Giving in to our own initial perceptions or misgivings denies us the chance to get to know some really amazing people out there. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.